Welcome to The Divorce Social with me, Samantha Baines, changing the conversation around divorce. This show is sponsored by Penguin in the Room. Penguin in the Room is an award-winning arts marketing and social media management company. If you want to jazz up your socials and have someone Instagram and tweet for you, then here's your answer. Go to www.penguinintheroom.com. As always, hit subscribe to make sure you're updated about new episodes. And we love to hear from you on social media at DivorcePod and at Samantha Baines. You can also email us. All the info's on our website, thedivorcesocial.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I am joined by listener of The Divorce Social, Louise. Welcome to The Divorce Social.
Hello.
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 You are our first listener interview. How does that feel?
Wow. That's impressive. I thought I'd maybe be the 15th or the kind of let's record her and see if she's any good and then we can edit her out.
No, never.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
So how does it feel, me saying, welcome to The Divorce Social?
It feels fine now, and it feels I accept it, and it's part of me, and I'm okay with it. If you'd asked me 2 years ago, I probably would have burst into tears. So that's, yeah, it's a weird one. It's weird how you process it and adjust to it, and, you know, here I am now, kind of, yeah, I'm divorced. And actually, to be able to say I am divorced is better than what I've had for a few years, in that it's been, oh, I'm nearly divorced, or my soon-to-be ex-husband, and it's a lot more straightforward now. Not good or bad, just kind of acceptance, really, for me. That's how it feels.
That's a big journey, though. 2 years ago, you'd have burst into tears, and now you're like, yeah, here I am.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. And I think even just years ago, before I ever kind of went on this journey, divorce wasn't in my family. It wasn't, you know, nobody in the family's divorced. My ex came from a family where his parents had split up. So he was kind of, it was more normal in his family. Whereas in my family, it just never happened. I don't think I had any relatives that had gone through it. So at the start, when our relationship broke down, I was adamant for quite a long time, I'm not getting a divorce. I'm not going to be a statistic. That's not for me, you know. And then gradually when, you know, you start to process it and accept it, and, it's all step by step, isn't it? You know, where you are now to where you were is just, it is a journey. And like you said, I know your introduction always says it's amazing and awful in equal measures. And that's how it is, really.
Yeah, I mean, it is awful and amazing in equal measure, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So that crying that you said 2 years ago that you would have done.
Yeah.
Did that happen to you? Did people ask you if you were divorced, or was it kind of something that you were holding inside and you said you felt like you didn't want to be a statistic? Did it feel like a dirty secret?
Yeah, it felt kind of like, oh, you know, this sort of, I've been in this marriage, it's worked for years and I've loved it. He's had an affair. And almost like I didn't want my story to be, he had an affair, I couldn't accept it, and that was it, we got a divorce. It felt far more complex than that to me. And I wanted to, initially it was, I'm not getting a divorce, this is going to work, I'm going to forgive him, we're going to build a even better marriage, and, you know, it's going to kind of be the making of us. So, yeah, that and I think because I couldn't say the word divorce and I wasn't kind of going down that track, I used to kind of, even like at the start, I used to say, oh, we're just not together at the minute. Then it was kind of, oh, we're separated at the moment. And it was like gradual. But yeah, I did. I mean, emotions wise, they were just pouring out of me all the time. You know, I'm not somebody that I can't keep it all in, and I really struggle to keep it in. And I also had this kind of need to explain it to people as well. I think because we'd been together for 25 years, we met at university, you know, it was just me and him and our son, and that was how it had always been. And so many people, when I started, you know, when I kind of announced that we were separated, was so shocked. You know, they said out of all the people they knew, all the couples they knew, they thought we were, you know, we were good forever and ever. And so did I. So I think, I think that was part of it. It was almost like, because my ex didn't, he kind of went underground, you know, didn't sort of hid away. In fact, it was me that rang his best friend and told him, because I was like, it was like, everybody needs to know, they've got to know what we're dealing with. And whereas he was, I think he was just, you know, I suppose because at the start he was at fault, it was like, oh, well, I'll, you know, put my head in the sand, I'll go into hiding and I won't tell anybody. Whereas I was, I mean, I think, you know, I've not announced it on social media, but if I was that kind of person, I probably would have put a, you know, a statement out about, you know, uncoupling, like, you know, the guy from Coldplay did. But that's just the way I am. I kind of process it by, I suppose, speaking out about it and then talking about it to other people. And yeah, so
I can relate to that. I told all the people close to me, and then I did put a thing on Facebook just to like my close friends, because I was like, I can't deal with this conversation every time.
Yeah.
Of people being shocked. And what effect do you think that had on you when people said, oh, out of all the couples, I thought you two would be good forever?
I think it was just devastating, because it was kind of like, it sort of validated what I felt, you know, that's what I thought as well, that I just couldn't believe it. And I think that without going into all the details, so he was a nurse and he had an affair with a colleague, and it had gone on for a year, and for that year we were together, and I knew there was something. I knew, you know, that the relationship was really strange, and it was like living with, he looked the same but he acted differently, and it was like he was a cardboard cut out of himself. So for this whole year I was like, I don't know what's going on. And at the start of what I now know was the affair, I had really strong suspicions, but again, because we've been married for so long, you know, I thought, I can't go around accusing him of this. And because he hadn't been in a marriage like that where he'd been unfaithful, and I'd kept letting him come back. It was kind of this was like the one big devastating event, and everything changed. So it is like with divorce for me as well, it is that kind of life before divorce and life after. There's definitely two different roads. You know, the life I live now is unrecognizable, and that's not in a bad way. I'm okay now, but it is like, it's like that was my old life and this is my new life now.
It's funny you say about the, you know, feelings of, oh, I can't go around accusing them, and I've definitely, you know, I've been cheated on in the past, and those feelings of, if you have suspicion but then you're second guessing yourself, even before you might share them with anyone or your partner, I think that had a really big effect on me, because I felt like I couldn't trust my own judgment.
Yeah, that's so true. Because of I'm a social worker, that's my background, and I work in the NHS in mental health. So I do a lot of reading as well. And because of this, I've done a lot of reading about trauma and the grief process and everything. And that, you know, that term gaslighting, I wouldn't say he did that to me to any great degree. But what he did do at the start was, when I was kind of thinking there's something wrong, you know, he's done something or something's different. And I did actually say, are you having an affair? I feel like you're having an affair. And I can remember at one point coming home from work and saying, And it makes me feel shivery now. I kind of said, I feel like I'm going mad. And he said, you know, why? And I said, because I'm convinced you're having an affair. I feel like you're having an affair. And now I know that I was right, you know, that, and that's one thing that I've kind of, that real, you really learn to trust your gut. And I think it is about, and when you're on your own as well after a split, that whole thing about learning to, about who you are, about yourself, about I can trust myself. And that, while that was like heartbreaking to think that a year before I knew and suspected, and then I had to live through another year of lies, but it's that, there's also that sense of, yeah, I was right, I can trust myself, you know. But with that came a lot of anger as well, a lot of kind of feeling that, you know, like, I remember the night he told me, we'd been away on holiday and we came back and I'd been out for the day and I came back and he was in the lounge and he was upset and his dad was ill at the time. I know your dad died, didn't he? His dad was dying. So I came in the house and I instantly thought, oh, his dad's gone. You know, his dad's died. So I went over to comfort him and he pushed me away and he said, no, I've not been honest to you. And he just told me, he just said, I've been having an affair. It's been going on for a year. Well, I was just, you know, kind of went into blind panic. But one of the first things I said to him was, you know, I said, I knew, and you lied to me. And it was almost like at that point in time, everything fell into place. So as horrendous as it was, everything that had been happening all made sense. You know, kind of in that one moment, it was like, yeah, I'm right. I knew it, you know, that it's weird. And I think, but then because that feeling of, oh, now I know what it is and I can trust myself, I then went into overdrive and like, right, now I can fix it. Now I know what it is. I can fix us. I can sort it. So, and that wasn't the way it ended.
And so going to that place, which, I mean, I can't imagine what it must have been like when he told you. After that moment, when you were in, I can fix it, did divorce ever come up for you, or was that a thing that you just immediately pushed away?
Yeah, it was, that was not on the cards. That was like I said, that's, I think, where that thinking came in of, no, I'm not getting a divorce. I don't want my son to be from, you know, a marriage that's broken. It was weird. It's weird how you kind of, when I look back now, how controlling I was, I think. And I couldn't, it took me several months to let go of that. I definitely kind of, for months and months, lived in this kind of period of, like, I'm going to control it. I'm going to make him, you know. And I think as well, because I was willing to forgive him and I wanted him to come back, and I assumed that he would be like, yeah, that's, you know, I want that too. And that's another learning curve that you kind of, when you grow up and learn, it's like, actually, the only thing I can control in this is me and what I do and my reactions. I can't control, you know, what he does. I can't make him come back. I can't make him, you know, I can't. I mean, he says he said he always loved me, but it changes things, doesn't it? I suppose when you've had a child together, there is something there. But the weird thing is that I'm really verbal and open and talk, whereas, like I said, he shut down. And an awful lot of it was guesswork. It was like me trying to guess, well, what does he want? And I mean, I use the term that he was pathologically passive, that I heard that on a program one day and I thought, yeah, that's him. But I suppose that's his contrast to me wanting to control it and organize it. And, you know, well, now we can make it better. But I learned, you know, you can't do that. And even the divorce question didn't come up, because my divorce came through in September this year, but I only filed for divorce a year ago. And he told me he told me about the affair in 2019. So really, probably 18 months were me kind of processing it. And even when I filed for divorce, I can remember having conversations with the solicitor and crying and thinking, I'll never get, you know. And now it was me chasing the solicitor and saying, I want it done. How long is it going to be? Where are we up to?
It's funny. I think solicitors know that, because I remember when my mum organised a meeting with a solicitor for me, And in my head, I was all like, yeah, getting divorced, this is happening. And after that first meeting with the solicitor, I went home and cried and had a total freak out and was like, no, no, I can't do this. This is too soon. And then it wasn't until a few months later that I got back in touch. And I feel like they must know that everyone must do it.
Yeah. And I think when I found your podcast, what I really liked about it was that, because I probably started listening to it at the start of that journey, was like just listening to you say, because how long were you married for?
Well, I was only married for a year and a half, 2 years, but we were together overall for 8 and a bit years.
Yeah. But that in itself, kind of the fact that you talk about, you know, crying on your mum's floor, me thinking, actually, even though I've been married for 25 years, people still... this still really hurts. Divorce flipping hurts, and it, you know, it literally wrings you out, doesn't it? So when people, you know, that again with working in mental health, so knowing about grief processes, you really do go through a grief process and it, you are exhausted. And I think listening to, you know, other people talk about it, and I think the first podcast I listened to was the Sarah Millican one, and I was driving and I had it on in the car and I was crying because listening to somebody else say, yeah, I had, you know, I hit rock bottom, and like it makes you think, yeah, what I'm going through isn't, it's not me being soft or being, you know, wet or sensitive. Because I think some people say, well, you're just going to have to get divorced, aren't you? That's, you know, that's the next step. And they say it like matter of fact, whereas when you're going through it, it's massive, isn't it?
It's like everything that's happening is completely centered around that. Like, that is your whole life during that period of time.
Yeah, definitely.
So did you start listening to the podcast when you decided to get divorced, or during that period when you were not going to get divorced?
I think it's weird when I look at it, it's when I made that decision. So it's almost like with me, and I've been in therapy while this has been going on. And I've got a really good friend that I used to work with who was a psychologist. And she said about me, she said, it's like you dip your toe in the water and you go, oh, I don't know. And I pull my foot out. But she said, you then, once you've done that, dip your toe, you then kind of go, right, I'm going in. And I think that's what I do. So once I've, it's like that test in the water. And I think that with divorce, it was kind of like gradually getting my head around it. Like I said, it was kind of, oh, we're not together, we're living apart. Then it became, we're separated. Then it became, you know, no, I've filed for divorce. And then it became, I am getting divorced. So that process now, in that I can say, yep, I've done it, I've come out the other side, and I'm still here, is, I think that's the bit that kind of gives you that closure. And it, I've got a friend who is really, really struggling and is kind of doing that kind of mental battle, doesn't want to accept it, but knows she has. And I said to her a few weeks ago, I said, once you go through it and you decide, it doesn't take away the feelings. It doesn't suddenly make everything that you've been through all right, but it's part of the journey that you have to go on. Because I mean, at one time I thought, oh, am I going to just kind of, I think I was so against divorce that I almost thought, well, you know, we could just separate forever and I'll never get divorced. I'll just be separated from him. And that was all right for probably a few months. And then it kind of, you could start thinking, I can't do that. I need to, if we're not together, we're not together. So I need to formalize it and be like, yeah, we are divorced. And that was definitely the right thing. And that's where I am now.
I think it's so true that you say, like, deciding to get divorced doesn't take away any of those feelings, but it does give you a sense of power in a situation where you feel completely powerless because you can't control the fact that your relationship has broken down for whatever reason. But you can decide, no, right, okay, I'm going to get divorced, I'm going to go through this process and make it formal. I'm really interested in the fact that you didn't like that word divorce and you couldn't say it. Do you know why that is? What did you think of when you thought of the word divorce that felt so alien?
I think it was the finality of it. It was the fact that once you say that and do that and get that, once you've done that divorce thing, the process, whatever you want to call it, it's like that admission, isn't it? It's like, this is over now. This is done. This marriage, it doesn't exist anymore. And it's funny, isn't it, that like when I got the paperwork, it is kind of like explains it, doesn't it, in legal terms, that like it's, do they say it's dissolved or something? That idea that literally, and it was like when I, like I said, I got to it in stages. When I got to the stage where I was kind of going down the divorce route, it was this kind of therapist that I'd been seeing who one day before I got to the divorce stage, she said to me, you know, what are you fighting for, Louise? What is it that, you know, because I think I was still in this like fantasy world of, you know, well, he's had an affair, but we're going to work at it and it's all going to be all right. And she actually, you know, she wasn't a tough therapist. She was very kind of motherly, but she almost said to me, well, she actually said, this, Louise, this isn't a marriage anymore. You know, kind of like I was calling it a broken marriage, but she was like, it isn't one anymore. And another friend said that to me, like, it doesn't exist anymore. And that, and I suppose maybe that's it, like it's letting go of that and then moving on to the next stage, isn't it? And maybe that's why, you know, some people, you know, if you've not let go of that first bit, you can't move on to the second bit. I think, yeah, in answer to your question, it is that kind of once I knew for me, because I try and live in the grey areas and I'm getting better at that, but I am black and white in a way as well. So I knew that once I said, right, I'm, you know, ringing the solicitor and I'm filing it, that was it then. There was no going back. And I think maybe that was the scary thing about it, that it was that finality, you know. And people, you know, and people say things like, oh yeah, my mum and dad, they, you know, they got divorced and remarried 2 years later. But for me, it was like, no, once I'm on that path, I'm on it, and there's no coming back from it. And that's scary, isn't it? It's, you know, but I needed to crack on, and that's what I did. And I say that as if I did it dead quickly. It still took three, still took 3 years.
It's funny, isn't it? Because there are a few times in our lives where we have to make such a clear decision on our own. Because even when you're getting married, you decide together to get married. But when you get divorced, you have to decide on your own, and it's final, and it's a big change in your life. You know, when you have a baby, hopefully you decide together. You know, when you buy a house, you might buy it with someone else. I think buying a house on your own may be similar, but then you can still sell it at the end of the day. It's a big kind of final decision that isn't like many other things. And I think it's really interesting what you said about the terminology around divorce, like it gets dissolved, which, or, you know, and also those people saying to you it doesn't exist anymore. I think that is really scary, isn't it? Because it does exist, because it happened. And seeing it and the idea that it dissolves, so it you know, when something, sugar dissolves in water, you can't see it anymore and it's like it's not there. It will always be there and it will always be part of us. But I think the idea that you're losing it because it's being dissolved or it doesn't exist in the world anymore is the scary one.
Yeah, that was really what you said about that decision as well. That was really relevant for us because of how he is and how he was. Because another thing I used to do to him, so my ex, was to say, you know, well, if you're not coming back, what are we going to do? Are we going to get a divorce? And I think I was kind of strangely waiting for him to say, yeah, I'm not coming back. I want a divorce. And he never said that. He kind of alluded to it. You know, I'm quite sort of steely. And it was almost like, I'll be blowed if I'm going to make that decision for him. You know, almost like it was. And yet, if he had said it, I would have been devastated. And in a way, I'm kind of glad that I started the proceedings. And I mean, I can, this probably makes me sound really ruthless, but one of the things that when I went to the solicitor and I knew that she was going to, you know, send the letter out to him, because I didn't like email him and say, oh, by the way, I've been to a solicitor. You know, I went and instructed her and he got the letter. And I can remember him sending me an email a few days after and saying, like, you know, I was really shocked to see it in black and white. And for me, that it was almost like, well, what did you expect? But actually that probably was me taking back some control, because for so long, you know, in that final year of marriage, I hadn't had any control. You know, I'd been lied to, and he wasn't cruel to me. He was never cruel, but But I suppose mentally it's cruel, isn't it? When you know that somebody's, it's when you look back on that year as well. And I used to think like, oh, I used to like go and see my sister at the weekend, and because of how difficult the relationship had become, I'd stay at my sister's for the day, and we'd hang out, and I'd think, I don't want to go home. I just don't want to go home. And that's weird looking back on that now. I think because I knew things were falling apart, and it was kind of like not wanting to go and be in that atmosphere. And that's another thing, like we said about, I talk to people. So I had close friends during that time. And one friend in particular, I'd gone to stay with her one weekend, and I was really upset, but I didn't want to admit, like you said, when you've been cheated on, I didn't want to admit that this was going on, because it felt like if I admit it and say it out loud, that'll make it real. So I came out with it to a friend, and I said, I'm convinced that he's having an affair. And she very quickly said, oh no, he'd never do that to you. You must be, don't think that. And I kind of wanted her to do that, to reassure me that I was kind of on the wrong track, but actually I wasn't. I was bob on, it everything I suspected was exactly what I was suspecting. And so, yeah, that kind of starting the divorce and sort of getting the ball rolling, it gave me back a sense of control, because I was driving it. And by the end of it, I was the one pushing, I was like, look, I just want this. I think I was so exhausted by the end of the process that I just wanted it like signed off and finished. It's like, I was so done with it, being in that. And I think that's why it's good to be in this phase now, because when you're going through divorce, all the financial stuff, and we had a home together, and I really wanted to stay in the house, because I was thinking, if I lose my home as well, that'll just kind of finish me off, and I could afford it, I'd been paying for it by myself. So I knew that, like, and I think because I got to keep the house, and it feels like I have come out of it, in a good position, and I've got that worry and that uncertainty of, because I got my head around it. Again, this is what, with me, I get my head around stuff and then I'm okay with it. But I'd got my head around, right, well, I might need to go and find a smaller house. I better start looking. But it turned out I didn't need to do that. And, I'm, like I said, I've kind of come out of it now, and it's good to have got that. Because it, I don't know about you, but it, how long did your process take? How long did the...
I think it took a good 2 years. It felt like forever.
Yeah. And that hangs over you, doesn't it? Mm. That sort of like, oh.
It's like you can't move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like debt, if you have a credit card bill that you have to pay, and so it's influencing like you every day, because you're like, oh, I can't do this because of that credit card bill. Like, I feel like divorce is like that. It's like, oh, well, this is still, you keep thinking about it because it is hanging over you.
It is. It is like a dark cloud, isn't it? And, and then once it's gone, it is, you get that kind of, and the weird thing with me was that I emailed the solicitor a few weeks ago, because the financial, we got a consent order and all the finances were sorted, the house was sorted, but I was waiting for the decree absolute, which is the final bit, isn't it? And I emailed the solicitor and said, where is it? Like, I'm still waiting for it. And I got an email back, and I think because the courts are so behind with all the processes, the decree absolute had gone to the, or had been granted by court in September. So I'd been divorced for 2 months officially and didn't even know. So when I got, it was like, oh, flipping heck, I wish you'd told me in September. I could have, I could have been kind of free of it back then, but it's done now. And I'm glad.
It is a funny thing, isn't it? I think I've said on the podcast before, like when I got that final, you are divorced, because I think the terminology has changed now with the new law as well. So it's not called a decree absolute anymore, but it was when I got divorced.
Yeah.
But when I got that, it was just an attachment to an email. And I wanted, I think I've said before, like someone to turn up like with a big check, like I'd won the postcode lottery and like confetti.
The scroll.
Yeah. Or yeah, like a town crier being like, you are divorced. Because it was such a long process. Like, you need some relief. It needs to.
Yeah, it needs to be like an occasion, doesn't it? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's weird, that, because I'd emailed, like I said, the solicitor, And the next, I got the email at work a few weeks ago, and I opened it up, and it was just an attachment. And I sat at my desk and was like, oh, that's it. That's like all that stuff I've been through, everything. There's like this little attachment at the end of an email. And I went in the toilet at work and had a little bit of a cry, rang my mum, and she just said, yeah, it's really sad, but you're done now. And then a girl from work had seen me go out of the office and came in the office and was like, are you okay? And I said, I've just got my final. So she gave me a massive hug, and I went back to work. And, you know, I mean, it did, I think that weekend it got me. I kept kind of, you know, it was kind of in my head, and I think, but yeah, since then, I think because by the time you reach that final stage, you've done so much processing, haven't you? You've gone through all these different emotions.
So how did you feel that day when you got it? Because I thought I might have a cry, and I felt a bit sad initially. And then I just felt like, oh, thank God, like I want to do something to celebrate somehow.
I felt a bit sad, but that sadness didn't last as long as it, you know, it kind of just, it was kind of fleeting, you know, like, oh, right, yeah, that's sad, it's done, that's the official bit. I think for me, the relief bit had come in September when the financial stuff had been sorted, because the house situation and whether I would get to stay, that was the big thing for me. So once that was done, that was kind of, that was a relief moment. Yeah. So that wasn't a sort of sad, oh no, you know, it's come to this. It was kind of, oh, thank goodness for that. You know, that was a little, and my friend got me a bottle of Prosecco and came round and we drank it and had a giggle, and because I was never into this idea of, yeah, I'm gonna have a divorce party, but that moment when the consent order was done and I knew that it was on its way to being finished, then that definitely felt like a massive relief.
Like a little party.
Yeah, just a party for two. A party for two with some Prosecco.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ding dong. It's the ad break. This podcast is sponsored by Penguin in the Room, an award-winning company that can manage your business's social media. They even manage our podcast, Instagram and Twitter. Just email info@penguinintheroom.com for a quote. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast, you can by buying merchandise from our website, www.thedivorcesocial.com. Ding dong. So I think this is funny because we get these things as attachments. And I'm just thinking if any, because I know solicitors and lawyers do listen to the podcast to get an insight.
Yeah.
What do you think you would have wanted from your solicitor for that moment, for that final decree absolute?
I think I thought, like we joke about a scroll, but I think I thought I would get this like, this paper, you know, this kind of
left certificate.
Yeah. Like, because you get a marriage certificate, don't you? But
yeah.
So I kind of felt like it would be this really official document. Like, you speak to the solicitor at the start about it all, because the solicitor once said to me, you know, Louise, I can help you with the financial stuff, but if you need to talk about it, you're gonna have to get a therapist, kind of thing. And that's true, because they're dealing with something that's so you know, so emotional, you kind of almost want them to kind of talk you through it, and that's not their job. So
a phone call would be nice, yeah, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Just to like finish off the relationship, because you've been through a lot together.
Yeah, we have.
Even though it's only, you know, it's like official information based, as you said, you can't cry at them, but it's still like they've had a big role in a massive part of your life. So I think, yeah, a phone call being like, I'd like to let you know that you are officially divorced would be nice.
Yeah, because the email, I kind of, it just said the decree absolute has been granted. And I was like, oh, right, is that it then? And then I scrolled down to the bottom, like you said, and there's this tiny little attachment, especially when you're looking at it on your mobile phone. It's like, oh, it's minute, but there it is.
And then if you read the actual decree absolute, it's like, is it actually it? I had to read it like 3 times to make sure.
Yeah, it's very, very strange.
Okay, well, phone calls is what we'd like then. At least solicitors listening.
Official phone.
Or some sort of certificate.
You get a swimming certificate, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. And that only takes like a few minutes to swim up and down.
The friend that I mentioned that's kind of just starting the divorce journey, I actually went with her to take her marriage certificate in with her, because you have to hand it in, don't you? And my friend said, do I get it back? And this admin person said, well, no, because you're getting a divorce, aren't you? Almost like an exchange. And my friend was, you could tell she was like, but that piece of paper, that's my marriage, you know, like handing it back and getting a divorce certificate instead, which she doesn't want. So it's, and that was funny seeing somebody else going through something that I'm like, yeah, I completely get how emotional this feels for you. But also that feeling of, I'm glad I'm further on in this now, that I've kind of been through that bit and come out the other side.
This is definitely making me think that I need to create, me and my team, some sort of divorce certificate that you can download from the divorce social website that you can just write your name on, just so you feel like, I mean, you won't be able to use it in any legal scenarios, but just so you feel like you've got something that says you are divorced.
Yeah,
I'm going to make it happen.
Well, I've got a little dog that I got last year, and I was 50 this year as well, and my neighbours that are really good.
Congrats.
They got me a little bandana for the dog that said, happy 50th mum. Perhaps they should have had one saying, you know, mum is now divorced, she's on the market again.
Or... yeah. Come and chat to mum. So talking of getting your dog to introduce you to people, how were things when you got divorced and started dating again? Have you started dating again? Did you start before you got your official divorce certificate? And how was that?
So I did. What I did was last year, I went on some dating apps and had a few dates that were all just not great. Just like, because when I met my ex, I was at university. I was in my 20s. So, you know, mobile phones didn't even exist. So I kind of was intrigued to get into the kind of, because it's what people do now, isn't it? It's that kind of, you know, everybody goes on the app. So I went on a few, and I did go on a few dates, but they were all kind of, I'd message people, we'd agreed to meet for a coffee or went for a drink. But I would say with all of them, before I even went on the date, I was like, this is not, you know, I wasn't feeling it, but I felt like I had to get myself out there, felt like I had to kind of give it a go. And somebody at work set me up with a friend of hers, and that felt like it could have had a little bit more possibility, but that, again, that didn't, you know. And now, so I came off the apps, I was on several of them. I was on a Christian app as well, and that was like, they were the worst ever on there. I don't know where they got these people from. Half of them looked like axe murderers, and I was like, who are these people, like, you know, that have just come out of prison? Or, and they would put that on the profile. So I went on like a couple of Christian ones. I went on Match.com. I went on eHarmony. But I really didn't have a lot of success.
Are you Christian, or were you just after a Christian?
No, I am. No, I am. Yeah. And that was one thing that kind of, I went back to church right at the start of the marriage breakdown. But it was really weird because I'd not gone to church for about 10 years. And it was weird because I met my ex when I was at university. I went to a Christian union. So we met kind of through a church connection. And when we got married, we were kind of actively involved in church at the start, but then we kind of drifted away from church together. And for 10 years, probably at least 10 years, I didn't go. And then it's weird, isn't it, how your mind, your mindset and everything changes. And one of the first things I did when he left was I went back to church, and it was partly because I bumped into an old friend he'd only been gone about 3 weeks, and I was still kind of walking around like a zombie. And I told her, I said, oh, he's had an affair, he's left. And we went in Starbucks and I just cried and told her everything. But I think making that connection with somebody that knew me, and I went back to church, but I went back with like a different mindset, and just kind of went back kind of and made friends, got a really good close group of women friends that are now, you know, we do all sorts together. I even volunteered to kind of sing in the worship band and got up on stage with a microphone and started singing, and you know, and I would never have done that before, and that is a big part of my life now. And I would like to find somebody with my, you know, that has my faith, but like I said, I'm certainly not going to find it on the Christian Connections dating app, because flipping heck, honestly, the first guy,
I love this honest review of the Christian Connections dating app.
So me and my mum, it's so funny, when I was going to go on these dating apps, because I think my mum really struggled when I got, you know, when I kind of went through this, because obviously I'm a little girl and she, you know, she was heartbroken for me. But I think my mum would like me to meet somebody, but I think even more so was like, you know, oh, if Louise could just meet somebody, she'd be all right again. And actually, I'm glad that I didn't rush into another relationship, because I have kind of learned who I am and I've developed in my own right. But me and my mum were sat there one Saturday on her settee looking through these profiles, and my mum's like leaning over my shoulder going, oh, he's all right, click on him. And I'm like, Mum, you're married, you're not going out with them. It's me that's got to like message them. So she clicked on this guy.
I hope you messaged them saying, my mum picked you.
Yeah. And then before we know it, we were messaging each other, and he looked really nice and he sounded nice and he worked in mental health. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know. Anyway, then it was only kind of about a few days later that I noticed in his profile that it said he was shorter than average. And I was like, oh, no. So what's average height? So and then I got obsessed with the fact that this guy was going to be so short, and I didn't want to go out with a short guy. And he was really short, because I met him for a coffee. He was short. And, you know, and you're like, oh, no. But I blame my mum for that, because she was like, and I rang my sister. Oh, I can't believe I did this. I rang my sister. And I said, I'm going to meet him, but I'm not going to like him because he's really short. And my sister went, but he might be lovely, Louise. She said, you've got to give him a chance. And I kept saying things like, how tall is Ant and Dec? And Heather was like, why are you asking that? That's my sister. And I went, well, they're all right, aren't they? And is it Declan Donnelly? He's short. My sister was like, you're not dating Ant and Dec, Louise. You're dating some guy off a profile. And he was lovely and we had a coffee, but it wasn't. You know,
it is funny how you obsess over tiny things, though, because you don't have any information about them.
No.
And I found on dating apps that the people I've got on really well with in the dating app chat have been rubbish in real life. And the people who are rubbish at chat that I just think, oh, go on then, are way better in real life. So it's like there's no rhyme or reason to it.
It's a really hard, it's a really difficult platform, I think. And now I'm not on any at all now, because you do get a bit obsessed, don't you? I mean, you could spend like 2 hours just like swiping.
Did you ever complete it? I used to complete them every so often, where they're like, you've got no more matches because you've been through all of the matches in your area.
I was always completing it. Yeah, I was like, No.
And then you're like, oh my God, there's no one left. I've been through everyone.
There's nobody. Yeah. And I like now I feel like it's weird, because it's recently that I've thought, actually, if I'd met somebody back then, there was no way I was in the right headspace. I was all over the place. I think I went on one date and all I did was talked about my ex, and my neighbours, like I said, who were really good friends, they actually said to me, last year, they were like, you're not ready yet, Louise. We can tell you're not ready. But now, I think partly with the divorce, the fact that the divorce is final and it's done, it kind of, it's like giving me a clean slate. So I feel like, you know, if or when I do meet somebody, and I would like to, I'm in a much better space, and I'm glad that I took the, that I have taken the time to get to this point, because I feel like I'm just a lot less messy now than I was. I felt like my head was so, you know, even kind of going out with people when I was still married felt weird. And that's probably like the Christian side of things. Cause my, a friend of mine, I said, oh, you know, I feel like maybe I shouldn't be dating while I'm still officially married. And she was another one that was like, but you're not, are you? You know, it's not really a marriage anymore. And so people, I suppose other people could see it really clearly, whereas I was still in my headspace. I was still, but you know, I'm still married, even though we're not together, and he's still my husband. And he wasn't, you know, he'd kind of given up that right and that position a year before, but it, in my head, it was just adjusting to it.
It's nice to hear that you might be ready a bit more now. And I can totally relate to that. I think I was single and having a sexual explosion. Yeah. Many sexual explosions.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. It was very fun. But like, I think it was like 4 years or something. Like, it was a good few years. And I'm in a relationship now.
I know, with, is it the postman?
Yeah.
I know. I was so excited when you and I was like, but when you hear people, that's another thing. When you hear people like you that have gone through it and they're in a good relationship, and that's the bit that gives me kind of, yeah, there's life after, there's like new things.
That's so interesting, because I was thinking, when I used to hear that, I used to get annoyed with them. And I used to be like, oh, you found someone else, have you? Well, I'm going to be alone forever. So
yeah, well, I had that feeling when you announced it, because I was like, oh, flipping it, you know, she's like, she was the one, she did this divorce podcast and she knew how I felt, and now she's gone and got somebody. But it's good as well, because it's like, actually, there is other people, you know, there's other people out there, there's other relationships. And actually now, when I meet people that have, you know, I'm fascinated by people that say, oh, it's my second marriage. I'm like, tell me more. How did you meet him? Where did you get him from? You didn't get him on a Christian website, did you? Yeah, that sort of... So like, and that does feel like, yeah. And I think that's, I still believe in marriage as well. If that came and that was an option, then I would still be, I think I'd have a lot to think, you know, for me, I suppose I'm going to have to go through that, like building trust again and being in a relationship. Because when you've been in a relationship where there's been infidelity, and you know, like I said, when you've been lied to for a year and you've questioned stuff, I think that'll be, I mean, how did you find that when you first started dating again? Did you have any like trust issues or?
Well, this is what's interesting, because I always thought when I meet someone else, that's going to be like the cycle complete, like the divorce cycle full stop. And now I'm in this new relationship and I'm like, oh my God, no, it's just more of the journey, because there's all these new things now that I felt like I got really good at being on my own, living on my own, found myself again. And now I'm having to like open up to this other person again. And so it's a whole new learning journey, and all those things, it's really hard. All the things that your ex used to do that were like signs of something else or things you didn't like, it's really hard not putting that on your new partner and actually just taking them as a completely different human being, which they are, and also knowing when it's you creating stuff because of your past experiences.
Yeah.
And there's definitely been like a lot of learning points for me already in my new relationship, but it's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it is.
I feel like I completed being on my own. Like, I was like so happy, so good at it. And I was like, if I'm on my own, this is fine. I can just have sex with some nice people every so often. And and now I'm in a relationship, I'm like, oh, I'm not very good at this. Yeah, I need to learn this.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? And I think it's like, I mean, you know, people say things to you, don't they? Like, I mean, my mum, bless her, like I said, she struggled with it. But one of the things she said to me, and it's, I mean, I can't believe it. It's like when we started out trying to repair the marriage, we did have a couple of sessions of therapy together. And I can remember, I mean, my mum's so matter of fact, and she was like, well, well, come on then, what did they say? What's come out of it? And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, you know, you need to know where you've gone wrong so you don't make the same mistake next time. And it was like, oh, flipping heck, Mum, you know, kind of like that the therapist was going to say, well, yeah, well, I've identified this, this and this, and if you work on that, you'll be fine. And I think my mum thought of it like that, that, well, you know, she never blamed, you know, she knew that, like, the marriage had ended because of infidelity. But I think she, you know, like any, I mean, when you're in a marriage for a long time or any relationship, you're not both perfect. You all do things, don't you?
And also there's always a lot more than just the reason you might give people that the marriage ended.
Yeah, there's loads of stuff. And so, yeah, I think my mum was like, well, you know, you know, almost as if I was going to get like, well, as long as Louise can do that next course in, you know, how to not make the same mistake again, she'll be
like,
all
it was
right.
A maths exam, like, as long as you work on your algebra,
yeah, you'll
then
be fine. Yeah. And it's like, and but that's part of the, it's weird, I don't think a divorce process is amazing, but that's part of the, there is a massive amount of learning that comes out of it, isn't it? And you know, so as much as I never wanted to go on this journey, and I've, but now I've completed it, and I'm, you know, kind of the stuff that you learn from it, you know, the stuff that I've learned from the process and just from being on my own, because I suppose because we did meet when we were young. So actually I had never, you know, I didn't even go to university away from home. I went from home into marriage, then we had a child. And so this has been kind of like, this has been an opportunity for me to kind of go, all right, you know, what, you know, how do I want to live? And it's daft things with me. Like, if I don't want to wash up for 4 days, I don't have to, because there's nobody, you know, nobody's bothered. Well, the dog might be, but I'm not, you know, she doesn't seem to mind, you know, anything, stuff like, you know, like the house, it's not, I've never been a big pink fan, but there's like blush pink everywhere, you know, because I used to, I've always liked my house to look nice, but I used to consider my ex, you know, as like, well, I'm not, you know, do you like that wallpaper? Let's kind of, like you said, you choose things together. Whereas now it's like, I can do what I want, eat when I want, wear what, you know, I can go to bed when, everything is just, you make those decisions. And that is a, there's a lot of freedom in that.
Yeah, it's, and there's so much freedom in that. And then when you go into something new, you're like, oh, how does this work now? Like, I think I've realized that I was a bit of a bitch in my previous relationships, because I'd be like, no, you can't tell me what to do. You know, I'm going to stand up for my, because I was so obsessed with not being a pushover.
Yeah.
And actually now, weirdly, having lived on my own for the first time since I got divorced, I'm now like, oh, I can compromise and make things nice for someone else as well as not being a pushover.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's not about the other person at all. That's just completely about something I've learned about myself.
About you, yeah. I'm a lot better now. And again, I've learned it. I think when we were together, it was almost like when you're together and you've been together a long time, you back each other up and you kind of do things in a similar way. And you've always got somebody that kind of goes, oh, yeah, I agree with you on that one. Or you kind of like, it's you against the world. Whereas when it's, when that's taken away and it's just you, I feel like it has softened me in a way, and I'm not as judgmental, and it has made me think like, oh, well, you know, I wonder what that feels like for them. And I think, you know, that it creates that space for you to be, you just kind of, I feel like it's opened my eyes to other things because I've not been influenced by another person. It's just been, well, what do I think about that? And when you're on your own, that whole thing for me about trusting your own instinct and your own kind of decisions, that's something that I kind of, that was hard to learn, but I'm glad that I've learned that because of, you need to.
I can totally relate to that. So now, looking back at all of that, what would you say to Louise, who was in a panic about fixing everything and didn't even want to consider divorce and felt very stressed by the idea of divorce?
It's cheesy, but it's that not trust the process, but allow it, kind of, you know, kind of not, it's too, you can't go with the flow because you're in when you've found out about infidelity, you're in a period of crisis. But once I started to kind of stop trying to control it and let things, you know, sort of happen and maybe let things unravel a bit, it's a really tough question that, but it is that I would probably be saying to, I suppose just like to that Louise, you will be okay. You can't see it now, but you will be. And that's what I would say to another person, you know, and also that kind of, it's not warning people, but kind of reassuring people that it is painful and it's really hard, but you do come out of it. Like, and it's not as simple as time is a healer, because I still have days when it makes me sad and it hurts, but you do, you know, you learn from it and you do come out of it. And that, I suppose, accepting that it is a process, and, you know, like anything, it's a season of your life as well, isn't it? And you go in and out of it, and does that make sense? That you'll go through it, but you come out of it. And that saying about the only way out of it is through it. And that's the thing. Like, I, like, for ages at the start of it, I just was desperate for it to not feel like that. Not, and I used to say to my sister, it's still, I don't want it to hurt anymore. I'm sick of it hurting. I want something new. I always used to say, I want to fast forward 6 months. I want to, because if I get to 6 months time, it'll be different then. And it's like that you can't, you have to go through it. You have to keep going through it, and it flipping hurts, and you have to get support and comfort and whatever you can to help you through it. But you've still got to go through it. And that's part of being an adult as well, and a grown up, because in my marriage, I hadn't really gone through any hardship. You know, I'd met a guy, I'd got married, we'd lived happily ever after. We had a lovely son who, you know, did great at school. Really, I hadn't had any tough, you know, I hadn't gone through trauma. I hadn't lost a job. I was kind of, my life was really simple and straightforward. You know, and this, I suppose this is the biggest trauma that I've ever had, but it's also been the biggest opportunity to learn and grow. And it's not one that I wanted, and I wouldn't have chosen it, but here I am. And I've, you know, I'm still standing. So
still standing and smiling.
Smiling, yeah, yeah. And I've survived, yeah.
I love that you said, you will be okay. You can't see it now, but you will be. I feel like that's the message of the podcast as well.
Yeah, definitely.
It really hurts, but it can also be kind of amazing in bits, and you will be okay.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Louise. How does it feel having listened to the Divorce Social and now been on it?
It's good. It's sort of it. I think as well, when you look at what you have, like that, just that feeling of it's tough, but it'll be okay. When you kind of know that for yourself, that's where you can help other people, isn't it? And that's what happened when I found the podcast, that listening to other people say it really hurts, but you come out at the other side. That's what I get from it, and to be able to speak about it. So, because I bet people will tune into that podcast right at the very start of the divorce journey, like me, and be kind of, you know, crying in the car when they hear Sarah Millican talk about stuff. But knowing that you get to kind of the other side of it, and then that's all part of helping each other along, isn't it?
Well, thank you for helping.
Thank you. Yes. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Oh, hi. Thank you for listening to The Divorce Social with me, Samantha Baines. Please leave us a review. Please, please. It would be super nice. They're lovely to read. They keep me cheery and happy and keep me going. But also, it affects our listing in the podcast charts, which are very important because that's how more people find the podcast. And I'd love to help more people get through those really tough heartbreak and divorce times. And they're more likely to find us if we're higher up on the charts. So if you'd like to leave a review, I'd love you forever. You can leave them on iTunes is the big one, or most podcast platforms do them as well. I'll take all the reviews you've got to give. You can also get in contact on Twitter and Instagram at DivorcePod and at Samantha Baines. We have a website, thedivorcesocial.com, and we have a Patreon account, which means that you can support the podcast for as little as £2 a month. And it helps me with all the admin costs. It also means you have access to our 90s style divorce and heartbreak chat room. And there's lots of exclusives on there, little bits of audio that you don't get in the main podcast, and some giveaways as well. So I'd love to see you over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Samantha Baines. And please leave a review. Did I say that already? Please leave a review. Love you forever.